freehand. Maybe that'll stop the Cupid. You're bleeding too. Doesn't hurt, lied Torek. The bear had thrown him against a birch tree, bruising his ribs and gashing his left forearm. Torek, leave. Now, before it comes back. Torek stared at him. He opened his mouth, but no sound came. You must, said his father. No, no, I can't. Torek, I'm dying. I'll be dead by sunrise. Torek gripped the medicine pouch. There was a roaring in his ears. Tha, give me what I need for the death journey. Then get your things. The death journey? No, no. But his father's face was stern. My bow, he said. Three arrows. You keep the rest. Where I'm going, hunting's easy. There was a tear in the knee of Torek's buckskin leggings. He dug his thumbnail into the flesh. It hurt. He forced himself to concentrate on that. Food, gasped his father. The dried meat. You, take it all. Torek's knee had started to bleed. He kept digging. He tried not to picture his father on the death journey. He tried not to picture himself alone in the forest. He was only 12 summers old. He couldn't survive on his own. He didn't know how. Torek, move. Blinking furiously, Torek reached for his father's weapons and laid them by his side. He divided up the arrows, pricking his fingers on the sharp flint points. Then he shouldered his quiver and bow and scrabbled in the wreckage for his small black basalt axe. His hazelwood pack had been smashed in the attack. He'd have to cram everything else into his jerkin or tie it to his belt. He reached for his reindeer hide sleeping sack. Take mine, murmured his father. You never did repair yours. And swap knives. Torek was aghast. Not your knife. You need it. You'll need it more, and it'll be good to have something of yours on the death journey. Far, please, don't. In the forest, a twig snapped. Torek spun round. The darkness was absolute. Everywhere he looked, the shadows were bear-shaped. No wind, no birdsong, just the crackle of the fire and the thud of his heart. The forest itself was holding its breath. His father licked the sweat from his lips. It's not here yet, he said. Soon it will come for me. Soon. Quick. The knives. Torek didn't want to swap knives. That would make it final. But his father was watching him with an intensity that allowed no refusal. Clenching his jaw so hard that it hurt, Torek took his own knife and put it into Far's hand. Then he untied the buckskin sheath from his father's belt. Far's knife was beautiful and deadly, with a blade of banded blue slate shaped like a willow leaf, and a haft of red deer antler that was bound with elk sinew for a better grip. As Torek looked down at it, the truth hit him. He was getting ready for a life without Far. I'm not leaving you, he cried. I'll fight it. No one can fight this bear. Ravens flew up from the trees. Torek forgot to breathe. Listen to me, hissed his father. A bear, any bear, is the strongest hunter in the forest. You know that. But this bear, much stronger. Torek felt the hairs on his arms rise. Looking down into his father's eyes, he saw the tiny scarlet veins, and at the centres the fathomless dark. What do you mean? He whispered. What? It is possessed. His father's face was grim. He didn't seem like Far any more. Some demon from the other world has entered it and made it evil. An ember spat. The dark trees leaned closer to listen. A demon, said Torek. His father shut his eyes, mustering his strength. It lives only to kill, he said at last. With each kill, its power will grow. It will slaughter everything. The prey, the clans, all will die. The forest will die. He broke off. In one moon, it will be too late. The demon, too strong. One moon? But what think, Torak? When the red eye is highest in the night sky, that's when demons are strongest. You know this. That's when the bear will be invincible. He fought for breath. In the firelight, Torak saw the pulse beating in his throat, so faint as if it might stop at any moment. I need you to swear something, said Far. Anything. Far swallowed. Head north. Many day walks. Find the mountain of the world spirit. Torak stared at him. What? His father's eyes opened and gazed into the branches overhead as if he saw things there that no one else could. Find it, he said again. It's the only hope. But no one's ever found it. No one can. You can. How? I don't... Your guide will find you. Torak was bewildered. Never before had his father talked like this. He was a practical man, a hunter. I don't understand any of this, he cried. What guide? Why must I find the mountain? Will I be safe there? Is that it? Safe from the bear? Slowly Far's gaze left the sky and came to rest on his son's face. He looked as if he was wondering how much more Torak could take. Oh, you're too young, he said. I thought I had more time. So much I haven't told you. Don't hate me for that later. Torak looked at him in horror. Then he leapt to his feet. I can't do this on my own. Shouldn't I try to find... No, said his father with startling force. All your life I've kept you apart, even from our own wolf clan. Stay away from men. If they find out what you can do... What do you mean? I don't know time, his father cut in. Now swear on my life. Swear that you will find the mountain or die trying. Torak bit his lip hard. East through the trees a grey light was growing. Not yet, he thought in panic. Please, not yet. Swear, hissed his father. Torak knelt and picked up the knife. It was heavy. A man's knife, too big for him. Awkwardly, he touched it to the wound on his forearm. Then he put it to his shoulder, where the strip of wolf fur, his clan creature, was sewn to his jerkin. In an unsteady voice, he took his oath. I swear by my blood on this blade, and by each of my three souls, that I will find the mountain of the world spirit. Or die trying. His father breathed out, good. Good. Now, put the death marks on me. Hurry. The bear, not far off. Torak felt the salty sting of tears. Angrily, he brushed them away. I haven't got any ochre, he mumbled. Take mine. In a blur, Torak found the little antlertine medicine horn that had been his mother's. In a blur, he yanked out the black oak stopper and shook some of the red ochre into his palm. Suddenly he stopped. I can't. You can. For me. Torak spat into his palm and made a sticky paste of the ochre, the dark red blood of the earth. Then he drew the small circles on his father's skin that would help the souls recognize each other and stay together after death. First, as gently as he could, he removed his father's beaver hide boots and drew a circle on each heel to mark the name soul. Then he drew another circle over the heart to mark the clan soul. This wasn't easy, as his father's chest was scarred from an old wound, so Torak only managed a lopsided oval. He hoped that would be good enough. Last, he made the most important mark of all, a circle on the forehead to mark the Nanwak, the world soul. By the time he'd finished...